Yes, sir. What is your name, sir?
My name is Joe Lopez Jr.
Mr. Lopez, hold one moment. Let's see which one of us will be conducting your hearing.
Okay.
Okay, I believe that it's the Honorable Miss Gail Rittenhouse. The Honorable Miss Rittenhouse will be conducting your hearing, sir. So just hold on while she get her paperwork together.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Lopez, could you please state your name and your ABC number for the record?
My name is Joe Junior Lopez, and my DOC number is 142015.
Okay, thank you. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing, and this concerns the one allegation that's on your warrant.
Right.
You signed a form on April 24th that notified you the hearing would be today. Do you remember that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And on that form is a list of your hearing rights. And one of those is that you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney today, or will you be representing yourself?
I'll be representing myself.
Okay.
I didn't hire an attorney.
No problem. Attorney's optional, but it's your right. The members of the board conducting the hearing today, if you look at the other end, to your right, the opposite end of the bench from me, is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Right next to me here is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. And my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be conducting the hearing today. Also with us in the room, we have Mr. Turner, and there you can see Mr. Turner now. He is with the Department of Corrections, so we'll represent the department and your parole officer in the hearing today. So, Mr. Lopez and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, I do.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Lopez, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision. And then phase two, to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So what I'll do for phase one, I'm going to read this allegation to you, and I need you to tell me if it's true or false. So that would be phase one, and we'll make a decision at that point. So here is the first, or the only allegation, and that is that you were in violation of condition number 3, as demonstrated by your act of changing the place of residence at 28 South Olive Avenue in Mesa, on or about March 9th, 2018, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown at that point, and thus you were absconded from supervision. Mr. Lopez, is that true or false?
Yes, it is true.
That's true? Okay, sir. Thank you. Based on Mr. Lopez's admission, I move to find him delinquent, as he violated the terms and conditions of the supervision and may have lapsed or have lapsed into criminal ways of company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Quinones, and agreed by Dr. Wright. And Mr. Lopez, we can move to phase two of your hearing, and this is probably the more important part, which is to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So, but before we get too far into that, I'm going to ask Mr. Turner to give us some background information. So just stay on the line, we'll be right back to talk with you some more. Mr. Turner.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Lopez was released from ADC custody on 1/25/2018 and arrested on 4/14/2018 by Avondale PD on the ADC warrant, no new charges. He was returned back to ADC custody on 4/14/2018 with an adjusted CSED of 3/1/2019 with 36 abscond days. Current conviction, 2013, commitment F, count 1, dangerous drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. 2015, commitment G, count 1, theft means of transportation, 5 years and 6 months. Prior convictions, 1999, commitment A, count 1, aggravated robbery, 3 years, 6 months. 1999, commitment B, count 3, theft, 2 years, 6 months. 2002, taking identity of another, 2 years and 6 months. 2004, commitment D, count 1, forgery, 2 years, 6 months. 2005, commitment E, count 1, theft means of transportation, 7 years, 6 months. This is his third term in ADC. He has a CUIR score of 3.3. Mental health scores of 1, substance use scores of 2. He is a suspected New Mexico Mafia member. Prior terms of
can I speak on that real quick?
Sir,
I'm
Mr. Mr. Lopez, you'll have an opportunity to talk in just a moment. Okay, hold on. Mr. Turner, go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Prior term to supervision, 2001, TIS release, absconded for 10 months, 22 days. He was arrested and revoked by the BOEC. 2011, TIS release, absconded for 20 days, arrested, continued on supervision, absconded for another 17 days, arrested and revoked by BOEC. Disciplinary is significant with rioting, threatening, and drugs noted. Other arrest, 1990, theft of a vehicle, California unknown. 93, assault with certain intent, California felony conviction probation. 94, burglary, California felony conviction probation. 2004, dangerous drug violation, Arizona felony conviction probation. 2004, obstruct criminal investigation, prosecution, Arizona guilty, other sanctions. 2004, taking the identity of another, Arizona guilty, other sanctions. He has a GV score of G7V8.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Okay, Mr. Lopez, what was it you wanted to clarify something here?
When you said about the suspended Mexican mafia member, that's the reason why I'm in protective custody now, is because I stopped doing that.
Did you debrief or?
Well, no, I got tired of it. I gave up.
Okay.
And I came to protective custody, and that's the whole reason why I left that 28 South Hollywood, was because I kept telling the parole officer and my CHC class lady that my life was in danger being there in that area in Mesa. So I asked my parole officer if I could change addresses, and he told me I have to get okay with the halfway house that I'm at, but they wanted $1,300, and I didn't have $1,300.
Okay. So where did you, and I understand, I mean, you run into people that you don't want to run into,
and I was actually shot at, so.
Okay, yeah, we heard that from others. So where did you go when you got
rid of I went at my mother's house and
okay.
A couple of friends' house, but I continued working, and going to my services on,
Where were you working?
I was working for Rhino Construction. My parole officer, he took down the name and the phone number of my employer, and I was working for Rhino Construction through labor temps.
Okay, sure.
And I was going to church and, you know, St. Ben's on 51st and Osborne, and I was staying out of trouble. All the UA that I took, they came out clean. I made all my payments that I had to make, and you know, it's just when you're don't have a vehicle and you're walking around right there in Mesa, and then you run into these people and you know, they pull a gun out, and then I go tell my parole officer, and my parole officer tells me, no, you were to stay there until you get okay with the halfway house. Well, when I went to the halfway house and told them, hey, look, I know I signed a contract with you guys. My parole officer said, I can't leave. And I said, it's okay with you guys that you guys are satisfied. And they said, no, we want our 1300.
Mm-hmm. So that was the place that you were living that wanted the 1300?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, got it. And then, but you were able to find your other places you could stay. You said your mother's and some friends.
Yes, and I also gave my parole officer like three different halfway house numbers that I looked up in Phoenix. I said, look, I really, really need to leave Mesa. I can't be around here. I already been chased. They've already seen me. And I told them, I said, please, can you call these halfway houses and verify it yourself and see if I can go over there.
Okay.
And so I don't know what he did with that, but I did do that. And my CHC class, my correctional health center, Julie that I was seeing every Wednesday, she even called him and told him, hey, this guy just got shot. I had to jump over fences, go to apartment complexes, and go behind different buildings just to get to my parole officer and my classes because I didn't want to be seen on the main street.
Understood.
I'm in protective custody because the Mexican mafia wants to get me.
Okay, understood, sir. I'm going to ask Mr. Turner just to look in the notes and see if you see any Anything that would be enlightening?
I'm not seeing anything in here of that request or that he was contacted to change the address.
Okay.
There is a completed there. The only, let's see. Last contact it appears that he had was on 3-1 of 18 at the office visit.
Okay.
Nothing that I can see there that he stated that he needed to go or that there was anybody shooting at him or anything there. On 3-26 of 18, Mr. Radke received a discharge letter from the Mesa House stating that the offender left with his stuff and never returned.
I'm sorry, what date was that on?
3-26-18.
26, okay.
And then there is a backdated note that on 3-15, CCO Radke spoke with the offender's sister. She said that she spoke with the offender a few days ago, stating he does not know if he can make it because he is struggling with his addiction. And in addition, the offender requested $50 to go to Tucson, and she didn't know where he was at.
Okay. All right, so thank you, Mr. Turner. So Mr. Lopez, per notes that we have, your sister said you were struggling with your addiction. So what addiction is that?
No, I when I was talking to my sister, she was telling me to go turn myself in. And I told her, I'm going to continue working. I said, I used to be, the last time I used drugs was 6 years, 8 months ago.
Okay.
And I told her, I said, I don't want to go back to using drugs and I don't want to be running the streets. I don't want to be running the streets and I don't want to be, and she goes, well, don't do drugs because drugs will get you to do more crime. So she goes, continue working. So I continued working.
Okay.
And I said, well, you know, and she was like, she was the person that I talked to. She's like the sister that I need to talk to somebody. And I talked to her and I told her, look, I don't want to use drugs. I don't want to go back to that. But when you're stuck in a corner, you know, people tend to turn to drugs, which I didn't. I continued working. She kept me positive, and I went to St. Vince Church on 51st and Osborne. I was there doing services. I did everything that I was, you know.
Okay, so
doing drugs.
It looks like you were arrested by the Avondale PD. So what were you doing that day? What brought you to their attention?
Well, they saw me walking on McDowell. I was headed over to my cousin's house, and they shined a light on me.
What time of day was that?
This was like maybe 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And I was like, I guess then you can't walk over that bridge right there off of 117th Avenue on McDowell. I was walking over the bridge,
oh, okay.
So I can get to the other side, and I guess that's the reason.
Okay. So where did your, without giving an address, where's your mother's house?
My mother lives in Mesa off of University and Country Club. And
your cousins, you said, lives in?
They're off of 127th Avenue on the Lower Buckeye.
Okay, so you were wanting to get out to the west side to get away from Mesa.
Yes.
Is that the idea?
Exactly. That's exactly what. If he was here amongst you guys, I believe that he would tell you guys that I did contact him several times. Actually, I was calling him so much that he would be upset at me because I was calling him so much instead of him calling me. And March 9th, I called him and I said, look, I cannot be in Mesa. He was Lopez, where are you? And I said, look, I cannot be there. I have to leave. The guys see me. They saw me walk to where I had to, to my halfway house. He goes, Lopez, you need to get to back to your halfway house. My life was in danger. I couldn't go back there.
Okay, understood.
It's not because I was high. It was not because I wasn't working. It's not because I was running around on the street. I kept employment. Ready, my parole officer had the number to my the person that I worked for. He had his name, everything. I was showing up, I was making all my payments, and I was even bugging my parole officer more than he was even bugging me.
All right, hold on just a second. I'm going to take some information from Mr. Turner here.
Okay.
What was the date that I gave you his last contact with Mr.
Rudin? You said March 1st.
Okay, that is correct.
Okay.
And looking through here, there is no other date after that?
The last office visit.
The last office visit. There was nothing in here noted by Mr. Rudin that he had contact with.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Lopez, yes?
The thing with the visits is I've only been to that office twice because of my situation. Gregory accommodated me and met me at McDonald's, met me at other several places.
Right.
Because of this. So that way I won't have to defend myself in the parking lot from these guys and then get violated because I'm defending myself. He understood my situation, and on March 9th, or the last time that I spoke with him, yes, I went to the office March 1st when I went over to the office because he gave my employer's name and phone number.
Right.
After that, March 9th, I contacted him when I left.
All right. Okay, so I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Mr. Quinones has a question.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. It's just a quick question for our community corrections officer, if I may.
Yes,
sir. Every now and then there's a chance to learn something about corrections, but can you enter protective custody without stepping down or debriefing?
I didn't read the notes. He was in protective custody while he was out there. There is no such thing as protective custody when you're in parole.
No, I meant inside.
But I didn't see any notes that he didn't. I mean, if there was a threat on his life that was a legitimate threat, he would be put in protective custody.
Okay, this is just an understanding thing. Thank you, sir.
Any questions, Dr. Ryan?
No, ma'am.
Okay, Mr. Lopez, we're coming toward the end of your hearing, and I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement if you'd like to. Is there anything else without repeating? Now, you've told us a lot, so don't repeat what you've already told us. Anything else we should know?
Just that if I'm given the opportunity, I still have my job, and, I will continue to try to do positive, and even if I get denied, I won't let me down. I won't let myself down and turn to drugs and back to crime. I'm 43 years old, and I'm tired of this already,
All right, sir, thank you.
I gained college in here. I'm a certified auto technician. I've got a lot of college credits since then, and I mean, it's all on my file. I'm focused on being positive, so.
Good. Okay, so, well, the board is going to go into discussion, and we don't discuss cases before we get in this room, so all our discussion occurs in public. So if you just remain on the phone and remain silent, we'll be right back with you. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Okay, the board is now in discussion. I believe Mr. Lopez has a great deal of personal resolve to get, avoid the drug use and to continue working. And I do think he's personally made that decision. He unfortunately has this problem with being seen by people who would try to hurt him, and that has complicated his community supervision. He does have two prior terms of community supervision in which he absconded. In fact, one in which he was reinstated, it sounds like, and then absconded again. And then this time he absconded as well. I'm not seeing him as a good candidate because of that, and also his complications with respect to being seen in the community. If he were to just finish his sentence in the prison, then he would be free to go anywhere he wanted. He could do whatever he wanted. So I'm thinking the best thing for him is just to finish his time. But I would listen to any additional input, Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. And I just want to say that I agree with you. I know it's not maybe a popular position for Mr. Lopez,
right,
but he needs freedom of movement, and I don't think he's going to get under community supervision.
I'm afraid. Okay, then. Then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion based on information in warrant 2018-W0906 and our conversation with Mr. Lopez. And information provided by Mr. Turner. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Lopez was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by absconding, during which time his parole officer did not know where he was or what he was doing. And that's my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, seconded by Mr. Kenyon, agreed by Dr. Wright. Okay, Mr. Wright, as you heard with the board's discussion, you know, because of, actually Mr. Kenyon said it best, you really need freedom to be able to go anywhere you need to go. And we're just concerned that if we, when you have the restriction of the parole officer and somebody you have to report places and particularly participate in treatment where you might run into people you don't want to run into, we just feel like you're better off being where you are. When you're finished in approximately March 1st of 19, you won't have any supervision. So you'll be free to do anything you want. You can move anywhere you want and avoid those people. We do feel like you've made a decision in your mind not to be involved in crime anymore and drug use for sure. So we wish you the best and hope that holds. We wish you for the best and hope we never see an orange again, sir.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Your hearing's over. If you give the phone back to your CO3, we appreciate it.
Okay.